The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome on this very chilly third Sunday of Advent. And welcome to everybody too who's joining us online. As today in our service, we're going to be thinking about an Advent dream of the prophet Isaiah. That's what we're going to be doing as part of our service today. I hope on your way in, everybody will have seen the notices for the week that is to come. I just wanted in particular to remind people of one or two things that are slightly unusual happening this week. The BB are not meeting here tomorrow evening. They're meeting instead at the Dundonald Ice Bowl at 6:45 for an outing. So that's at 6:45 tomorrow evening for the BB. Tuesday, the Anchor Boys are meeting here and the Craig of Crafters are meeting here. And on Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock, the Ladies' Afternoon Friendship Group are having a celebratory Christmas lunch at the Secret Garden at 1 o'clock. And that's where they're gathering on Wednesday at lunchtime, 1 o'clock. On Thursday evening, we have the final of our midweek Advent services at 7:30 as we continue our series Thinking About Generosity. And next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, Holy Communion at 11, and next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, the service of nine lessons and carols next Sunday evening at 7. At the back of the church, you'll see that the free will offering envelope boxes are available to collect. And if you were happy to take away your own, or if you see any belonging to neighbours or friends who are unable to be out at the moment, do please take them with you. And also, if I could ask for some help with a task during the week, if you can help me during the week with a task, it might be preferable if you had a car to help with this task. Do please speak to me at the end of the service. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and I'm going to invite Gillian to come and to introduce our Advent reading for the third Sunday of Advent, and Orla is going to come and help and light the third candle on our Advent wreath.
As we light the candles in our Advent wreath, we remember the preparations which God our Father made for the coming of his Son into the world. Our first candle reminds us of Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David, who looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Our second candle reminds us of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah, who told of the coming Messiah. Today is the third Sunday in Advent. We remember how John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for the Lord. John testified, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John said, "I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." John promised, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John saw the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." We light this third candle and remember John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for the Lord. Amen. And we stand to sing our opening hymn, "The Lord Will Come and Not Be Slow."
Thank you.
the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The psalm appointed for this morning's service portrays an amazing vision of healing and restoration and wholeness. We stand to read verses 4 to 10 of Psalm 146. Happy are those, happy are those who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever, who gives justice to those that suffer wrong and bread to those who hunger. The Lord looses those that are bound. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the stranger in the land. He upholds the orphan and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Alleluia.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35. Beginning to read at verse 1. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. the unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. At this point in our service, the young people leave for the hall, and we wish them well as they go. The rest of us stand to sing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul."
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 11th chapter, beginning to read at the second verse. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And in response to our reading, we stand to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for today, the third Sunday in Advent. O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent your messenger to prepare your way before you, grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn reminds us that in times of uncertainty and anxiety, we can hold on to our steadfast Lord. We sing, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life?"
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As we continue our Advent journey towards Bethlehem, these weeks of December are really an opportunity for all of us to reflect on our lives and indeed to reflect on our society as we move towards this special high point of the Christian year at Christmas time. And this week, as I've been reflecting on our biblical readings that are prescribed for each day, I've been thinking about the things that disappoint or that trouble me about society. But I've also been thinking about the things that disappoint or trouble me about myself. And as Christmas in itself is a season or a time that we associate with the dawn of a new hope, I wonder what are the areas that we need to see that hope manifesting itself. What difference does the birth of a child in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago make to the situations that I am going to name in a moment? I guess one of the first things that's important is, as St. Paul reminded us in some of our recent epistle readings, that we should be aware of the reality of the times that we're living in. And sometimes when we think about the times we're living in, it's quite a disturbing thing for us. We see lots of things that concern us or that worry us. And here's a selection of things that I've been observing in the news and in society around me that concern me at the present time. And you might want to disagree, or you might want to add different things, but we do need to start somewhere. I guess I feel concerned whenever I see wanton vandalism and destruction around our streets and in our city. I hate, for example, to see bus shelters shattered, and sometimes you see that, because I know that bus shelters are built with special shatterproof glass. And so whoever has broken those shelters must have an incredible rage inside them. And so I hate seeing public facilities vandalized or mindless acts of vandalism and violence. I also feel concerned at the competitiveness of our society at this time of year. The pressures and the expectations that people put upon themselves, and often it's fueled by the advertising industry, to spend more than they did last year on presents that they cannot afford. Or I'm concerned when I read in the newspapers about corruption at high levels of government, or cuts in the health service, which usually affect the most vulnerable in our society. Services like those provided for those with mental illness, or programs to assist those who are homeless or living with addictions. I'm also concerned at the present time about the increase in strike action, because people are not being paid a living wage. And so it's hard for people to see any other way but to take this action. But through these actions, these strikes, they affect all sorts of ordinary people, maybe waiting for surgery or treatment or appointments, maybe trying to get home to their families for Christmas and fearing travel disruption. And the gulf that exists in our society between the rich and the poor. I'm concerned about all those things in society, and they disappoint me because I know that this world is not as it's intended to be. But I'm also disappointed in myself because very often I lack the conviction and the commitment at times to galvanize the people of God to do something about it. And so when I speak of the people of God, I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to anyone else. Back in the 8th century, before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah spoke about the overthrow of a human kingdom represented by the nation of Assyria. And he spoke also about the setting up of a new kingdom that would be ruled by a Messiah. And he had a dream of what this world could be like if God's kingdom reigned, and if people had a desire to see God reign in our world. And as Isaiah looks to the future, we see today in our pair of readings that his vision is continued by John the Baptist, who preached with complete conviction and with simplicity about the need to repent and to turn back to God and to get ourselves right with God. And this is always where change starts. It starts within our hearts by overthrowing the self with all its selfishness and surrendering to the one who John said, "I am not even fit to carry his sandals." But Isaiah, in our Old Testament reading, looks beyond the disappointments of his own age to the coming of one who, in the last analysis, can only be God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Isaiah looks forward to the coming of this king, this new king that we prepare to welcome, we notice that this new king will not be arrogant or proud. Rather, he will be devout and he'll be righteous, knowing that he must ultimately give an account of his actions to God himself. So not surprisingly, therefore, this king that Isaiah anticipates will protect the interest of the poor and the vulnerable members of society. And Isaiah, you'll notice from our reading, went even further in his dreaming. He dreamt not just of an ideal nation, the nation of Israel, but also an ideal world where everybody would be at peace with one another. And as we think of our world in its current form, so divided, with so much conflict and division, is not that a wonderful vision or dream? And at Christmas, we celebrate the coming of Jesus the Messiah. And as we do so, we celebrate that Isaiah's dream has begun to take shape. The kingdom of God may have come, but it has yet to be established for all to see. The day has still to come when those age-old battles between good and evil are over, when not only will nation never go to war against nation, but also when people everywhere will be at peace with one another. And the challenge of Advent is that it must start with us in the church. I heard a description quite recently about people, and it maybe sounds like a harsh description, but it said people are very often like a pack of porcupines on a freezing winter's night. Sub-zero temperatures force them together for warmth, but as soon as they press very close, they jab and they hurt one another. And so they separate only to attempt in vain over and over again to huddle together. And sometimes in church, we're inclined to withdraw from one another rather than put up with the discomfort, if not the pain, of actually being brothers and sisters to one another. But to withdraw from one another, as we sometimes do in disagreement between the churches and between members of any church, when we withdraw in that way, we give up on loving. We give up on that dream that Isaiah shared. But Jesus wants us to give shape to the dream. For in giving shape to the dream, we offer a sign, if not proof, to the world that there is a new world coming. A new world where Jesus is King, where peace and harmony reign. And to me, that is an incredibly exciting and challenging vision that Isaiah puts before us. And the question I ask of myself, as much as anybody else, is whether I want to be a part of it. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you this morning for your desire to build a new society, to establish a just and gentle rule over the nations of the earth, and to create a global community where people would live under your authority and be united in their commitment to peace building and to living out your commands. Help each one of us, we pray, to be part of that project. May it fire our imagination. May it take hold of our lives. And may it bring healing to the brokenness of our world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations of the world. And we remember particularly today places torn apart by conflict. We pray for the Ukraine and for Russia. And we ask, Lord, in your mercy, for the cessation of violence and loss of life. We also pray for other places of unrest across the world at the present time. We think of the situation in Iran, in Indonesia, and in Bangladesh. And we pray for great wisdom on the part of governments in their response. We also want to pray for restoration of government in our own land and for a united response to all the huge challenges facing our health service, the cost of living crisis, and resolving the protocol issue. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray especially for all affected by the gas explosion in Jersey at the weekend. We pray for the bereaved and for the injured, and for the ongoing rescue operation and all who are involved in that. We also pray for those in poor health and who are living in freezing conditions through a lack of resources to heat their homes, and for all agencies that are trying to help. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we take a quiet moment to bring those known to us who are going through difficult times right now into your healing presence today. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father,
our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The words to our next hymn are a prayer for guidance and comfort in times of trouble. We sing, Lead, Kindly Light.
Thank you for sharing with us in our service today. And we're conscious as we gather today that there are quite a number of people in the congregation not well, not least our curate Andy, and we wish him well and healing over the coming days. Let's just bow our heads for God's blessing as we go into the week that is to come. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you. Gladden your hearts and scatter the darkness from before you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is "The People That in Darkness Walked."